Welcome back to the Workspace Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Moran. Today's guest is Bernie Heine of Professional Business Coaches. I invited Bernie on the podcast because as a provider of office space for entrepreneurs, I can't tell you the number of times I've been approached by people that call themselves a business or life coach. And I just wanted to get to the bottom of what they were all about, the service they provide, the value they provide. And Bernie did a great job. So sit back, relax, listen, and learn. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
So as you know, I've been in the workspace business for about 3 years now, and I can't tell you how many times someone has approached me looking for office space that describes themselves as a coach, whether it's a life coach or a business coach. You are a business coach. And so I thought it'd be appropriate to have a discussion with someone like yourself about the industry, see if we can't find out a little bit more than we know today and help our listeners along their journey in discovering success in their business. So what is going on? Why have we seen such a growth in the number of business coaches out there? And what has brought this on?
Well, thank you very much. And I'm really happy to be here today. It's a great question. A little more than 25 years ago or so, the industry really got started. Okay. Michael Gerber wrote a book called The E-Myth, where he talks about the fact that entrepreneurs aren't necessarily automatically going to be able to run a big company. We either have an idea or we're really good at doing something or we're good at organizing people. And he kind of identified these three different roles exist and not everyone has those. And so he wrote a great book about how to create company. And in the background, there's a coach guiding the entrepreneur along the way.
Okay.
And we have an awful lot of people starting businesses these days. There's a lot of entrepreneurs, but there have always been a lot of entrepreneurs. And people need somebody to talk to. And I think the coaching business has gotten started because we're there to help people help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in big businesses or in small businesses, people are looking for that unbiased opinion, that guiding voice to kind of help them where they can bounce ideas off of and really understand that they're doing the right thing.
Okay. So why does somebody one day believe that they're qualified to become a coach? What's the background of a lot of these people?
Well, they're very broad backgrounds. And because of that, there are many different types of coaches. So some people come at it because they've been an HR person all their lives, and they've done maybe a lot of training, and they come into it sort of from a human resources training view. Other people are coming at it from a practical business standpoint. They've been the CEO of a company, they're retired, and they're looking at other ways to be active. Or they're coming at it from just in general having been an executive in a company and they like helping people, and this is a way to help many people with a limited amount of effort on the part of the coach.
Hmm. And why would someone describe themselves as a coach versus a consultant? And how do the engagements differ, I guess?
That's an awesome question, because okay, we look at it kind of as a continuum. And on the one hand, you have a consultant. And when you think about consultants, they could also easily be replaced by someone internal to the company. So when you're hiring a consultant, you're thinking, do I want to hire a full-time person to do this job? Or will I not have enough work to keep that level of a talented individual busy in my business? Mm-hmm. And therefore, it doesn't make sense for me to hire an expensive full-time person. I can just hire somebody to do that work. But the decision you're making as the business owner or the executive in a company is, I'm either going to have my internal people do that work or I'm going to get it done from somebody else on the outside. Mm. So it's the kind of work that you can just farm out to someone else to get done. All the way on the other end of the spectrum is a therapist. And a therapist is somebody you come to and you talk about your past. And therapist is rooted in analyzing where somebody has come from. What brought you to this place that you are today?
Yeah.
Whether it's your family background, your business background, whatever it might be, but all the way back to your childhood. But they're really spending their time delving into the past and how that has created the person you are today, and helping people overcome issues. And a coach is right in the middle of those two. So sometimes we talk about the past, but mostly we're focused on the current situation, the present. Where are you right now in your business and your life's journey? And sometimes we go to the other extreme and we work a little bit as a consultant and we help them resolve problems. But mostly we're helping our clients understand where we are today and what's it going to take to move forward, and guiding them along by asking really good questions about what do they want to do to become more successful. We believe that most people know what they want. They're just not getting there. They just not so sure of themselves, so they don't do anything, you know, for fear of doing the wrong thing. So they're kind of stuck. And most people are the best experts on their own lives.
What do you find that people discover about themselves that surprises them when they're working with someone like yourself?
Oh, that's a great question. So oftentimes we'll start an engagement with a 360 evaluation, where we interview people all around the person. So people that report to them, or people that they might report to, people that are at the same level as them, to give them a view of themselves, how other people see them. And we'll use other assessments like a DISC analysis, which helps people understand their own behavioral style, their own personality. And it's amazing how many times people find things that they sort of suspected, but they just didn't realize it was the case. I had an executive who said, but I have an open door policy. You know, everybody can come talk to me. And he was unapproachable. People never went to him because he had a very short way of dealing with people, and they felt like they were being attacked whenever they, sure, you have an open door policy, but who's going to stick their head in the mouth of a shark, right?
He was too direct, I guess.
And that kind of stuff comes out, and they realize, or as some people are just very good at grasping the big picture. They have a hard time understanding how anyone would want to have a lengthy explanation of anything. Like, I'll give you three bullet points, you're good, right? Just go on. And so they miscommunicate all the time. And then the rest of the company wonders, like, what is going on here? Why don't we know more about what we're doing? Because some people have a high need for information. Other people have a low need for details. And if there's a mismatch, the leader thinks they're doing everything right. Well, I already told him. I sent a memo. What more do I need to do?
I'm not going to hold his hand. Oh, that's too funny. So you hear a lot about different types of coaches out there. There's a life coach. There's obviously people that can help you physically, if you will. Talk about the different types of coaches out there, and how do you sort of internalize what kind of coaches would be best for certain situations?
So on the one hand, you have, you even mentioned physical, right? You have physical trainers and coaches, right? People that help you work on your physical body. Then you have life coaches, which are mostly, as the name implies, it's about your life. So it's about personal relationships. A lot of times they're kind of in the direction of couples therapy, although not a therapist, because there's a certain line that you cross when you move from what coaching is into what therapy or counseling, where you work with licensed professionals, so we don't cross that line, right? But life coaches are helping people with things like personal productivity and their relationships and things. And then the next level is to moving towards executive coaching, where we're doing sort of life coaching things, but in a business environment. So now we're talking about stuff like communication skills and time management and those things. And while personal relationships often come up, it's not the focus as might be with a life coach who might really focus on personal relationships also, but we're dealing mostly with work relationships. And then when we add in business effectiveness side, now we're talking about business coaching, which is really the overlap of personal effectiveness, which is kind of what an executive coach would be working on, and business effectiveness, which is what the business owner or the business leader really cares about, which is then marketing and sales and operations and finance. So as a business coach, we're really executive coaches that also have a focus on business operations.
Yeah, because I would think that there's some people out there that have all the tools business-wise. They're just sort of stuck mentally and stuck life-wise. And perhaps there's just a way to sort of flush that out, if you will, and rethink about how you interact with people and how you leverage your own resources to achieve business success. So just sort of getting that clutter out of the way might almost be like a life coach, but it sounds like you do a bit of that as well.
Yes, and we begin most engagements with a diagnostic. It goes through 10 different chapters of business: strategic planning, marketing, sales, customer service, human resources, finance, leadership, personal effectiveness, exit planning. So we have these 10 different categories, and each category has 10 questions with a statement that you answer on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. 10 being you're like a world-class organization in how well you do that, and 1 being you don't do it at all. And that diagnostic kind of sets the stage for where we're going with that particular person or that business. And depending on where they need the most help right now, what are things that they need to be focused on to be more effective?
Do you only do that holistic approach, or will you dive into certain aspects? If someone says to you, I'm just stuck finance-wise, the books are a mess. Will you do a deep dive on financials, or is it just all or nothing kind of thing?
Well, of course, once we've done that overview, now we dive into the individual areas.
Okay. And then we might... So you always start at that overview is what
yeah.
you're saying. Okay, yeah.
Just to understand, because sometimes we confuse symptoms and root cause. So we want to understand that the symptom might be I'm feeling overworked and I'm overwhelmed, and the root cause is we just don't have the right business processes in place, and I shouldn't be so overworked because my issue is I just need to delegate the work more and it'll get done. And so we want to make sure we're not approaching the symptom, but that we're really diving deep down to understand, well, what's the root cause? What's really going on here that's causing these issues? And by taking a holistic view, we have an easier time of dialing in on where specifically should we be working.
In the coaching world, what are the deliverables like? What are you delivering?
I would say the biggest deliverable that we have is asking curious questions.
Mm-hmm.
So getting people to uncover their own motives and motivations and what they want. And through that Socratic method, if you will, we are able to get people to realize what they really want or the direction they will be going. And on a more practical side, we provide them with reading materials, templates, handouts, all kinds of worksheets and things that are best practices that they can use to improve their business. We mm-hmm. have assessments that we use, and so we'll assess their behavioral style or their team dynamics. And then from there, many times we'll be called in to do team building exercises. We'll facilitate workshops or strategic planning sessions, team building exercises. Those kinds of deliverables are also. But it all starts, the core is having a dialogue with the business owner or the leader and really understanding what's going on, what are they really trying to accomplish. And by asking enough questions, we're usually able to help them self-discover, because people generally like the idea they came up with themselves the best.
Right. So in the coaching world, are there any accreditations that people should look out for as far as when they're interviewing potential coaches?
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, except from a prospect. So people looking to enter the industry ask me that question a lot.
Right?
But when I'm actually in a sales situation, okay. I've never been asked that question.
No.
So the accreditation is very important for people selling accreditations. For them, it's the most important thing. And then there are certain people getting into the industry that believe it's very important. And there are some companies and some organizations that also require various accreditations. One of the most popular is the ICF, the International Coaching Federation.
Okay.
And they've established some guidelines, and they want to become the de facto standard in the industry.
Yeah.
There are many others that also are vying for that position, but they seem to have done the most work in terms of creating a standard for what's coaching all about. What does it mean? What do you need to know to be able to say that you're a coach? And
has anyone risen to the top? Is there one accreditation that seems to be leading the way?
Seems to be the ICF.
The ICF.
Yeah. There are many others. I went and joined an organization called the Professional Business Coaches Alliance, and they have a coaching certification program that I went through when I first got started. And it was very helpful to me to understand what it means to be a coach, but also what it means to run a coaching practice. One of the things is delivering the service, but it's also creating a company. To your point about marketing, how do I market my organization? How do I sell my services? How do I retain business? You know, it's one thing to have a great coaching conversation, but it's a whole nother thing to have a coaching business.
So we met a couple of years ago, and my business was not mature enough for your level of services at that time. And I actually engaged somebody else who was more tactical in nature, more marketing focused, and I've done really well with her. And it's been terrific. It's been a great relationship. So as a business owner, as an entrepreneur who feels as though they might need some assistance and coaching sounds like maybe the best path, how do they think about themselves and their business in a way that enables them to go down the right road to finding the right person?
Finding the right person is so important. I encourage people to interview a few different coaches in order to know that they found the right fit. Mm-hmm. So I'm part of some other alliances with coaches, and I will often get picked for executive coaching assignments. And the standard rule for all of those different organizations is to deliver three coaches to the coachee and let them decide from a chemistry standpoint, who do I really want to work with?
Okay.
It's the reason that I've created a coaching firm. So there's four of us. We're all very different from a behavioral standpoint, sort of from a personality standpoint. We're very different. Mm-hmm. And I encourage our prospects to meet multiple coaches from my firm in order to then have them make a good decision. Who do I feel most comfortable with?
Oh, very good.
Coaching only works if people feel that they have a connection with the coach and they feel really comfortable that it's a safe environment for them to share what's really going on.
I so agree. Yep. And from my experience with my marketing coach, she's like a confidant almost. And we talk about other things besides business, and it's a great relationship. Mm. So couldn't agree more there. Mm. So let's talk a little bit about your firm, the types of things you specialize in, and the clientele that you work best with.
Yeah, well, we have four coaches now, and I'm continuing to grow. So we're looking at, over time, adding more. Mm-hmm. And we work with clients across all different industries. And that's really on purpose, because we like to be able to offer sort of that cross-industry experience of not being blinded by what they do typically in one industry or another, and being able to share ideas across. So we have clients in the energy field, insurance, lawyers, medical centers, TV stations, really a super broad array of different businesses where we are coaching. And each engagement tends to be a little bit different. So in some cases, it's a small company and we're working with a business owner. In some larger organizations, we're working with an executive that is maybe leading a division or a large department.
Okay. So businesses of all sizes. It's not just entrepreneurs you're working with. So you could be working with the CMO of Raytheon or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
And oftentimes we'll get started working with a senior executive and then they'll recognize, oh, I really need to have you work with another person on the team. And then sometimes we'll work with a different team member, or they'll say, next month we're going to be doing a strategic planning offsite meeting. I really want you in here to facilitate the dialogue among the leadership team. So we'll do that. Or it'll be a team building exercise and say, oh, this team needs to work better together. Let's have them all do a disc analysis. Or we use Patrick Lencioni's work, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. We have an analysis around that that we'll use to bring the people together, really get a better understanding for who they are and how they can work better together.
So if you're working with one individual executive, your exposure is not limited to just them. In most cases, you're working with a broader team, but focused on their issues.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Very often.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes we just stay with one executive, but quite often they'll have us do other work within the organization because they've learned to trust us and they know we know how their organization works. And so they bring us in on those kinds of engagements.
Describe a typical engagement. How long? How much interaction? What are the sort of the mechanics?
Yeah, we typically start with somewhere between weekly meetings or as little as twice a month kind of meetings. So our coaching is generally sort of 60 to 90 minute sessions with an executive. And that can go on for years. Some clients we've had now for 6-7 years.
Oh, wow.
And I liken to compare that to, we become sort of their independent board of directors. Mm. And so how often do you fire your board of directors because you're done?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Never. Right?
Yeah.
Well, for many of these people, we are their independent voice that they bounce ideas off of. And with some of the clients that we've worked with for many years now, we're down to a once a month. So it's almost like they have a monthly board meeting with us where they can share pretty much everything going on in their lives and their business. And I know that we've really connected when I get those crazy calls at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Right?
Something just blew up. I had one a couple months ago where one of the key members of a management team wrote a flaming email to the rest of the management team a day before they were doing a 2-day offsite meeting.
Okay.
And I got that call. It's like, what do I do? How do I approach this? Those kinds of calls, you know, fortunately, they don't come too often. I know when they come that we're accomplishing what we set out to do, which was to really be that singular confidant of the leader, that they know they can call us when times are tough and they have somebody that knows them, that they trust, and that will listen to their concerns and help them, you know, guide them into the right direction.
So instead of flying off the handle and replying the way you think you should respond right away, let's call Bernie and make sure I'm doing this correctly.
Let's talk this through. Yeah. Our goal is to hold the values and the goals of the leader for them.
Mm.
You know, if you will, be a mirror and just shine it back to them at the appropriate times.
Right.
And then say, remember when we talked a few months ago how you had this tendency to your example, to fly off the handle and have an immediate response that then makes it worse? Think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
Your temptation to hit send right now
yeah.
and blow it up.
Let's hold off.
How is that going to help? What else could you do?
Mm.
And what might work with that individual? And just asking enough questions to get them to really think twice about what's the right next step. And then with them, chart out, okay, so what's going to happen next?
Right.
Who's going to talk to whom? How are we going to set this up? What are the concrete next steps that they're going to follow? And they feel comfortable then at the end of our discussions, they usually have an action plan, something that they know they need to work on that's going to help them get to where they need to go. And we will have reminded them about what their goals are. But you told me what you really want to accomplish is this.
Right.
How does that square with where you are right now?
Yeah, and how does that fit into responding appropriately
yes.
to the things that blow up in the middle of the night?
Yeah, which is just an extension of our regular coaching sessions, which are, okay, these are the goals we set out. Where are you? Where are we making progress? Where are we not making progress? Why is that? Is it maybe not still the right thing to be focused on? Do we have to change up our priorities? What are we going to do next?
Right.
And they're in charge. We're guiding the conversation.
Right. Now, I suspect this doesn't happen too often, but when does coaching fail? Not specifically your services, but when does just the relationship fall apart between a coach and a client?
Yeah, it's often when the client is really not willing to change. So
yep.
there are some people who start out with a lot of enthusiasm that this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize that they're not willing to do what it takes to make the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so hiring us is simply covering up what the real problems are. Well, I have a coach, so everything should work fine now.
Right.
But no, you have to be really committed to making the changes necessary to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to change things in your life, then it's not going to work.
I think the biggest thing that my coach has enabled me to think about is getting uncomfortable, you know, changing things up in a way that may feel uncomfortable at first, but the second, third, fourth, fifth time you do it, guess what? You feel a lot more comfortable about it. It's been incredibly valuable, so I can understand precisely what you mean there. So, Bernie, how do people get a hold of you?
We have a website. That's usually the easiest way to contact us, and it's theprofessionalbusinesscoaches.com. Or you can also type in BernieHeine.com, and that goes to our website.
Very good. Well, I really appreciate the time you took today. I look forward to our next episode.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Once again, that was Bernie Heine of Professional Business Coaches. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and most importantly, share with your friends. The Workspace Podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you have any interest in podcasting, please don't hesitate to reach out. I can be reached at info@workspacema.com. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you on the next one.